What's going on at running back when it comes to the New Orleans Saints? Bleacher Report's potential solution for the position and one New Orleans Saints defender that could be traded before the offseason is out. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we are free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter. You can find me every day over at USA Today's Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and of course, here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. And today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by our friends over at BlueNile.com. Make sure you make those moments sparkle with a special piece from BlueNile.com. Locked On sports listeners are going to get $50 off of purchases $500 or more. And this podcast exclusive does include engagement. Just use promo code Locked On today at checkout at BlueNile.com. So it's a Thursday here on Locked On Saints. So we're going to focus a little bit more on team building, which is going to be a bit of the theme of the Thursday episode. So one of the biggest questions that I get all the time from folks that listen to the show, from New Orleans Saints fans, people write in when I'm on radio calls and things like that throughout the city as well. And they want to know what's going on with Alvin Kamara and what can the New Orleans Saints do at running back. So I want to talk about this again. I want to break down what's going on with Alvin Kamara, what the timeline looks like, and take a look at who the options are on the roster. Then we'll look at Bleacher Report's potential solution for the position, because there's a trade offer that actually isn't too terrible, but it's not really reporting that there's a trade offer out there. It's just an idea why the New Orleans Saints should do it. We'll break that down, and then we'll finish up with a veteran or two that could potentially be traded by the end of the season. So just to remind everybody of what's going on with Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara was arrested in February in Las Vegas during the Pro Bowl, or just after the Pro Bowl, or just, yeah, just after the Pro Bowl, and was charged in an altercation that resulted in assault that resulted in bodily injury. So we'll have to see how this whole situation pans out. But as Amy just detailed last week with us, this sort of hearing has continued several different times. By continued, I mean effectively rescheduled. The first time it was because there was no evidence for his team to review. The second time because the evidence had come in with very little time for it to be reviewed before the hearing. And then now it's been, you know, so the result now is that it's continued until August. And we'll see if it gets continued again, if it gets pushed again. If that continues, no pun intended, to happen, then it puts you in a position to where Alvin Kamara may see no punishment from the NFL during the 2022 NFL season, and instead it'll happen during the 2023 season. But it seems to make sense that this is going to begin to progress here soon, and we'll get more clarity around that in August. The way the timeline should work is that depending upon how the hearing goes and how the trial goes, then right after all of that is done, and once that sort of judiciary process, the actual legal process is done, then the NFL may hand down discipline. And if the NFL hands down discipline, you know, quickly, it could be 2 or 3 weeks from that, then you could expect an appeal from Alvin Kamara and his team, and then another, you know, solution or another kind of determination a couple weeks after that. So this can go on for quite a while. And remember that when a player appeals, you can still play during the appeal process, right? One of the reasons why Deonte Hardy's punishment came so late in the season last year is because the legal process didn't resolve until November. The NFL made their decision soon after that to suspend him for 3 games. He appealed that process, and it took another week or so before they, you know, stuck with the suspension. And then he ended up having to serve that suspension starting at the end of November, beginning of December. So that's the timeline that you're looking at, and that gets you kind of caught up with what's going on with Alvin Kamara. The New Orleans Saints do have enough talented running backs on the roster that they don't need to be in panic mode, but they could look and will look to add more talent. We've already seen it, right? They brought in Sony Michel, who ultimately signed with the Miami Dolphins for some reason, and then they brought in David Johnson, and David Johnson tweeting that he enjoyed his time with the New Orleans Saints, but that unfortunately no contract was able to be reached. So here we are in the world where players are breaking their own news, which I think is great. So now the New Orleans Saints have shown you that they're willing to look at the position. This is a position that they've always looked at, right? Think back to guys like Mike Gillisley and Shane Vereen in the past, even guys like Devon Azigbo, who's now back, right? Boston Scott, like the undrafted free agents that they brought in, the drafted guys that they brought in, and even the veteran running backs that they've taken a look at during training camp. Expect to see that again here in 2022. Like, that's not going to change. So I would expect it. Oh, Devontae Freeman is another good example, who they brought in last year before ultimately not signing him. And then he and Latavius Murray went off to Baltimore, both of which, Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman, by the way, free agents now and familiar with the New Orleans Saints system. So names to watch. So when you look at the names that are left in the running back room, which include, but aren't necessarily limited to, guys like, of course, Mark Ingram, who's going into his 12th year as an NFL running back, which is absolutely incredible. You look at, of course, Dwayne Washington, who has been a special team staple for the team, Devon Azigbo, who they reunited with, and then the undrafted free agent rookie out of Baylor, Abram Smith, that everyone's been talking about. And of course, Tony Jones Jr., who effectively helped to push Latavius Murray off the books last year. Now, Tony Jones Jr. had a great week one, but then things just kind of, you know, became unsettled from there. Luke Johnson doing a great feature on him not too long ago about the disappointing 2021 and what he expects going into 2022. So I think when you look at the running back room that they have, the Saints have already moved ahead with that running back room before. Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, Tony Jones Jr., Dwayne Washington. So clearly they're going to be comfortable going ahead with that unit again if they need to. And then maybe Abram Smith, maybe Devon Azigbo end up pushing for some playing time or pushing one of those guys off the roster. I look at Abram Smith, who has really good special teams acumen as a running back who played linebacker for his first 2 years at Baylor. Yes, that actually happened. He only played one actual season at running back and went off for 257 carries, 1601 yards, and 12 rushing touchdowns. But he has some special teams acumen because he understands the position of a linebacker, how to tackle, how to read, all of these things, and does really well on special teams, particularly in coverage units. So I think he and Dwayne Washington may be in the most immediate competition throughout training camp, but don't sleep on Devon Azigbo as well. So if any of those guys rises to the top or rises to behind Mark Ingram, then you're in a really, really good spot there. And I think you're okay with starting the season, for instance, with Mark Ingram as your primary running back in a rotation. None of these guys have to be bell cow backs. None of these guys have to take 80 snaps or 80% of the snaps in any given game. They're probably going to share 40-40-20, right? Like, that's going to be the breakdown for these guys. It's not going to be, you know, a situation to where you're getting 30 carries in a game like Latavius Murray did when Alvin Kamara was out a few years ago. It's just going to be a very different game plan. Now, if Latavius Murray is back, then obviously that would be a thing. But that's where you are right now in terms of what the running back position is. It all breaks down to what's going to go down with Alvin Kamara in August, potentially in August. And by then, you'll have a better idea of exactly who they've gotten to look at, who's in the room, if anything changes in terms of veterans that they maybe bring in and sign and get a look at and all of that throughout training camp. So Saints are in clearly enough of a position to where they're willing to be picky about contracts, right? Sony Michel signing with the Miami Dolphins clearly wasn't contract related. It was more role related. David Johnson and the Saints not being able to agree on terms tells you that the Saints had a price, which is what we know about the New Orleans Saints, right? They have a price and they'll stick to it. They won't go above that based upon what role they expect a player to play. Like, those things have to be comparable. They're not going to overpay you for a lesser role. And so the Saints are not in a situation where they're panicking and trying to get a contract done, which is good news. That's a good thing. But don't expect them to be done taking a look at addressing the position over the course of the rest of this offseason. All right, coming up next, Bleacher Report actually had a potential trade solution for the New Orleans Saints and running back Kenyon Drake, why he could actually be a very good fit for the New Orleans Saints and why the trade compensation would be well worth it. We got all that coming up for you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. But first, I get to tell you about our friends over at rockauto.com, just the absolute best place when it comes to anything you need or want regarding your vehicle. If you just like to do your own repairs, if you're rebuilding a classic, or if you have something you have to get done and you're just looking to save a little bit of cash on it, rockauto.com is the place to go. Go and buy the part that you need from rockauto.com and then just take it to the shop and have them do the labor and only pay for the labor. That way you're not overpaying for the parts. What happens a lot of times is that if you're buying a part from one of those, let's just say, chain stores over on the corner, maybe a couple blocks from your house, or if you're buying the part through the mechanic shop, you're paying more than the wholesale price. Cut that out. Stop being charged more just because you're not a professional, right? Stop being charged more because you're a do-it-yourselfer. Go to rockauto.com, let them know your make, your model, your year, what parts you're looking for, and then you're going to be able to buy these parts at 30, 50, sometimes 70% less the price than what you're going to get over at those other places. And it's a family business that's been helping customers online for over 20 years, so you get the opportunity to support a small family business as well. So head over to rockauto.com today, check them out. Don't forget to let them know that Locked On sent you by writing Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us section at checkout. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks again, as always, make Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Make sure you are checking out Locked On Pelicans and Jake Madison. You can find them wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube as well. But you'll want to subscribe to the YouTube channel because Locked On is bringing you live coverage from every single local show moments after each selection is made. So Jake is going to pop up online live, reacting to the Pelicans picking or trading out of potentially pick 8. You want to know what he thinks you should do ahead of time? Head over to Locked On Pelicans now and check that out, or after this episode. And if you want to hear what happens after the pick, you can go and check them out over at Locked On Pelicans Live on YouTube. So make sure you're checking that out, or your favorite NBA podcast as a whole. Got you covered all the way through, all 30 teams. All right. I want to talk a little bit about an article that came out from Bleacher Report that suggested a potential trade for the New Orleans Saints to help address their running back room, which I thought was a very interesting way to go. I thought I don't mind this trade. So the idea here from Bleacher Report is the New Orleans Saints trade for Kenyon Drake from the Las Vegas Raiders, and all they give up is a 2023 fifth round selection. Now the Saints are already down a first round selection next year. We know that. But we have to remember that if Sean Payton returns to coach for another team, the Saints still own the rights to Sean Payton. So whatever team hires him, let's say the Bears have a bad year with Eberflus, and they're just like, all right, we're done. Let's go after Sean. And they get Sean, they bring him to Chicago, which he played, you know, quarterback in Chicago when he was young. And they hire him. If they hire him, they also have to give the Saints trade compensation, usually draft picks, in order to have him. Now, if I'm the Saints, I am whoever is signing Sean Payton to a new deal is giving up. It is a ransom, my friends. It is a king's ransom, a queen's ransom. Give me all of them, all the picks. Give me all that. So, you know, you're not really too worried about next year's trade competition if you're the New Orleans Saints and if you're confident that Sean Payton's going to come back to coaching in the NFL, which I feel like he will, but he might Bill Cowher. We never know. So Bleacher Report basically says, look, the Raiders went on. They signed Kenyon Drake just 2 years after drafting Josh Jacobs. They signed into a 2-year, $11 million deal ahead of the 2021 season. In 2021, he had 93 total touches. That was 63 carries and 30 catches. Had to do math there in my head for a moment. Not hard math, but y'all saw me still struggle. 545 total yards and 3 total touchdowns as well. Now, they mentioned that, you know, the offensive line wasn't very good. And then they basically, instead of doubling down on this Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake tandem, they also went out and grabbed Brandon Bolden. They drafted Zamir White. They grabbed Britton Brown. So now you have a very crowded running back room, and they restructured Drake's deal so that he has a void year in 2023. Sound familiar? To kind of knock down his salary cap this year because of what his role might look like and things like that. So if they traded Kenyon Drake, they would save $2.75 million against the salary cap, take on only $1.1 million in terms of a dead cap hit. So not bad, not bad at all. And so trading him is, and as Bleacher Report says, a much better option than cutting the veteran running back. So why would the New Orleans Saints do this? Everything we talked about just a moment ago, right? Alvin Kamara potentially being out for up to like 6 games this season. You worked out David Johnson, couldn't come to a contract agreement with him. You also had that, you know, visit with Sony Michel, but he ended up signing somewhere else. Darrell Williams was in town. He's from Marrero. He was probably visiting family or something like that, but he ends up signing elsewhere. He doesn't visit or sign with the New Orleans Saints. To our knowledge, he didn't visit, right? But he's officially now signed. I believe it was the Arizona Cardinals. So now, for the Saints, you kind of wonder, okay, well, is Kenyon Drake a fit? Is he somebody that would actually be able to come in and contribute? I'll tell you the thing that I like most about Kenyon Drake is that when he was at his absolute best in Miami, particularly you look at like those 2017, 2018 seasons, the thing that I really enjoyed about him most, and I guess you could throw 2019 in there too, his first year with Arizona. He spent some time with Arizona during that season. I think it was 8 games with Arizona. The thing that I really liked about Kenyon Drake during that time is that not only was he producing as a running back, but he was also producing as a receiver out of the backfield. So we look at like 2017, for instance. So he had 133 carries for 644 yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground. But that same season, he also had 32 receptions on 48 targets, 239 yards, and a receiving touchdown. You look at 2018, we had 120 carries for 535 yards and 4 rushing touchdowns. He added on top of that 53 catches on 73 targets, 477 yards, and 5 receiving touchdowns. Last year, as we mentioned with the Raiders, you saw that kind of pick up again to where he was targeted a little bit more out of the backfield, right? You've got Derek Carr, who's gonna check down. He's gonna throw to those running backs. So you think about the fit of Kenyon Drake, where he's catching a lot of these passes at behind, just beyond the line of scrimmage, and you pair that with what Jameis Winston has really focused on over the course of the offseason, so far this offseason, which has been throwing behind the line of scrimmage 5 yards, 10 yards downfield. He's doing a lot of that because of the rehab and what that, you know, the rehab of the left knee, the ACL injury, all of that has forced him or forced him early on in his process to not be able to push the ball downfield, right? He wasn't clear to throw beyond a certain yardage point, right? And he wasn't airing out 50, you know, yard bombs while he was, you know, rewalking, right? And figuring all that stuff out. So there was a bit of a gradual process and a buildup there. So you think about Alvin Kamara, of course, is somebody that's going to be able to do that for you. Mark Ingram is somebody that's going to be able to do that for you. Abram Smith proved to be a bit of a pass catcher as well during his time. They've been using him as a pass catcher during minicamp. So something to watch there. But Kenyon Drake is somebody that already shows you that he has that acuity. He can be a runner out of the backfield, but also be a receiver out of the backfield. And if you want me to give up a 5th round pick, or even later than that, right? We see these veteran player trades happen for, you know, Danielle Hunter and these other guys getting traded for like 7 round picks, you know, Everson Griffin, excuse me, getting traded for like 7th round picks and all this other stuff. And so you just never know really like what the value of a draft pick is post-draft. It's probably at its absolute lowest right now. And then as the draft keeps closer and closer, then all of a sudden it like skyrockets from there. So if I'm going to give up a day 3 selection to bring in a veteran running back that fits the scheme, that stays mostly healthy, right? Like, he's dealt with some injuries and stuff like that. But if you look at, you know, just games played without any context, which only tells you so much, but 16 games from 2016 to 2018, 14 games in 2019. And then he played a total of 14 games. Oh yeah, the 14 games of 2019, which included when he was traded, right? 15 games in 2020 and then 12 games last year. I mean, he's available for you. And you're not, and again, you're not looking for him to be a bell cow guy. You're not looking for him to play 100% of snaps. Like, he's going to be your kind of mix and match guy with Tony Jones Jr. Mark Ingram in that case, while Alvin Kamara is out. So you're really only bringing him in situationally. So you're looking at him to maybe get 20 to 30% of snaps in games, depending upon matchup and what the game plan is. So I think it's a good move. I think that would be a really, really good move and is a good suggestion for the New Orleans Saints. Now, I think a lot of people have started to kind of mistake this article as the New Orleans Saints having interest in Kenyon Drake. We don't know that, right? This is a suggestion as a potential trade that every team should make across the NFL. And the Saints are actually named twice in here. So they were named as the team that could trade for Kenyon Drake, but the Pittsburgh Steelers were connected to the New Orleans Saints. Again, not as a report, but in terms of some speculation of a move that they could potentially make. So who is the veteran that, you know, national analysts are looking at and that are saying, hey, this player could potentially be moved from the New Orleans Saints because the room is deep enough? What happens to be their strongest position group on their team coming from the secondary? We'll talk about who that is, and I'll give you a second option as well as we continue on and wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. And I want to tell you about our friends over at Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. I keep telling you about the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I know people tend to not believe me, but those of you that have tried the Built Bars and have like left YouTube comments or have tweeted me and stuff like that, you have experienced the greatness. Well, let me tell you about the greatest greatness that you're going to experience when it comes to Built Bar, which are these mud pie bars. If you like chocolate, this is for you. Chocolate mousse in a protein bar. Yeah, I said it. Chocolate mousse in a protein bar. That's what this is. And they're covered in 100% chocolate as well. I told y'all before, you support T-Bar, it tastes like a candy bar. It tastes like the three folks carrying muskets. You know what I'm saying? This Built Bar is a whole new level. It's incredible. It's awesome. So make sure you go and check it out. You can try out all the other puff bars as well. You can try out all the other puffs. But here's the big thing that I want you to also know. Coconut Brownie Chunk, it's back. It's a fan favorite. It's back. So make sure you go and check all of it out over at Built.com today. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, so you can get 15% off at Built.com today. Promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15. Use the numerals for 15% off at Built.com. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks again, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. If you are a college football fan, news just broke that Arch Manning has committed to the University of Texas. So if you're an Arch Manning fan, go and check out Locked On Longhorns, because I just know Jonathan is going to be pumped about this. And if you want to laugh at the folks at Alabama, you can go listen to Locked On Bama as well, because I'm sure they're going to be heartbroken. Anyway, Arch Manning heading to Texas. That's wild. The New Orleans Saints are going to be looking at making some potential moves and adjustments over the course of training camp. We know that the New Orleans Saints roster usually isn't really set until post week one, because remember, after or as the preseason rolls along, you're cutting down from 90 to 85, 85 to 80, and then from 80 to 53 on your roster. You're bringing in practice squad players and all that. But then a lot of players end up signing after week one, because for teams, contracts aren't guaranteed after week one. So you can expect fidgeting on the roster all the way into the second week of the season, just ahead of the Tampa Bay game. The other thing to consider, though, is that they could potentially be looking to make some moves and trades, things like that, all throughout training camp. So we talked about how they've always brought in veteran running backs. They've always brought in veteran linebackers. You think back to like James Laurinaitis being brought in, for instance. But they've also shown a willingness to move players out of New Orleans and bring back some draft compensation. Think Malcolm Brown. It wasn't really draft compensation that they got back, but they made that trade with Vince Beagle. They sent him to Miami. They got Kiko Alonso back. They traded, you know, a couple of other players like, there was an interior defensive lineman that was really good a couple years ago. It was an undrafted guy. They ended up moving him to the Cleveland Browns instead of cutting him from the roster. And so it's a way for teams to like get their roster cuts down, but not be in a situation to where they're losing money, taking on dead cap, or if they are, they're at least getting something in return, right? Instead of just cutting the player. So just like with Malcolm Brown a couple of years ago, there are a couple of veterans on that list for the New Orleans Saints they could potentially do that with. The big name and the one that a lot of folks seem to have an eye out on, particularly our friends over at Bleacher Report, who are, you know, included this in their one trade every team should make, is Bradley Roby. Their suggestion was for the Pittsburgh Steelers to trade for Bradley Roby. Now, how does this work for the Saints? How would this help? All of that. His cap hits only 1.765 in 2022 because they restructured his contract, all of that. So they pushed some of the money down and then added a bunch of void years that carry him until he's like in it, like 34 or something like that. But the big piece around all of it is that, like, because they restructured it and because he basically kind of took a little bit of a pay cut in the meanwhile, the money is easily movable. So you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers that have a big time need at cornerback, right? Like they have I like the way that Steeler Nation said it. Like they have a bunch of guys, but they don't have the guy when it comes to their cornerback situation. They could go out and sign Joe Hayden. They brought in some other guys like Levi Wallace, who can play on the outside. They've already got a couple of other starters there. But the big thing that they have to answer is, like, what are they going to do with the slot? They brought in DeMonte Casey. They have Akilah Witherspoon, and Casey could start in the slot for you. He did that in Atlanta, which, you know, New Orleans Saints fans will know very well, but eventually he's probably going to end up getting moved somewhere and things like that. Like, you just don't have the depth, because if you have one injury at safety, then all of a sudden he's your starting safety alongside Minka Fitzpatrick. So I think that for the New Orleans Saints, this would be a trade, or excuse me, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, this would be a trade that absolutely makes sense for them, but doesn't make sense for the New Orleans Saints. So you have, for the New Orleans Saints in the secondary, just like the top of the secondary at corner, right? Not really looking at safety, but I am going to cheat a little bit because CJ Gardner-Johnson and PJ Williams do a little bit of everything. You have your established lockdown outside corner in Marshon Lattimore. Opposite him, as of right now, you've got Paulson Adebo. You also have CJ Gardner-Johnson in the slot. So the top of your roster is solidified. Then you have guys like PJ Williams that can play just about everywhere. You have a guy now that you've brought in that you drafted out of the University of Tennessee, second round, Alante Taylor, who I'm very excited to see during training camp. He can play just about everywhere you want him to play as well, but particularly he can play on the outside and he can play in the slot. So you have the bodies that can do that along with, you know, some other guys that you can throw into that conversation. So you're in a position to where if you say, okay, could get a sixth, fifth, fourth round selection back for Bradley Roby. Remember, the Saints traded a third round pick for Bradley Roby at the beginning of last season. So if you could get something back, a day three pick back in exchange for him, then it just gives you that extra fodder going into next year. It probably becomes a moving piece, right? So that you can move around a little bit more than it becomes anything that you actually use to select, but it's an option. And then you shave a contract off of your books, you shave your roster number, and you get something in return. So it does make sense. But I think the Saints may hold on to Bradley Roby. If there was another veteran that I wanted to point out and say, hey, the Saints could potentially end up moving, it's actually Nick Vinette, the tight end. And I know that it's interesting because the tight end room is one that already feels so, it has so many question marks, but he is somebody that you could potentially move for a late selection, sixth, seventh round selection, something like that, and just move that contract off, save a little bit of money. You're going to save more money trading Nick Vinette than you're going to save trading Bradley Roby. You shave a little bit of the competition in the tight end room, or even make room for more competition in the tight end room, which, by the way, a change already in the tight end room. I was really high on him, but Kahale Waring out of San Diego State University played with a couple different teams in the NFL. Saints moved on from him. They waived him on Wednesday, but they signed Brandon Dillon, who hasn't played a ton of snaps. He's got like one career catch, but he's done a lot of special teams work and stuff like that. Spent most of his time with the Minnesota Vikings, was with the New York Jets. At the end of last season, got a future reserve deal and then was waived earlier this year. Now a New Orleans Saint. So we'll see where he's able to come in. But yeah, Kahale Waring already up. But Nick Vinette could be somebody that could bring you back a little something as a veteran blocking tight end. You know, you go trade into a system that really values that, like Detroit or Chicago or something like that. And it makes a ton of sense. There is one trade on this list that I think that the Saints should make. Speaking of tight end, it was a suggestion for the San Francisco 49ers trading for Jonnu Smith, the tight end that was formerly with the Tennessee Titans. You'll remember him from the Saints Tennessee Titans game a few years ago when Michael Thomas went off. And Michael Thomas broke the record, receiving record that year in Tennessee. And the idea here is that the New England Patriots are just overloaded with tight ends, right? They drafted like two back-to-back tight ends a few years ago. They brought in Hunter Henry. They brought in Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith didn't do a ton. He had one touchdown, 294 yards in 2021. And then now the Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator who loves to run the 12 personnel stuff, he is now out of there. He is now the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. So now they might shift away from some of the two tight end stuff. And so if that makes him expendable, then I think you trade a third round pick and then you bring in Jonnu Smith to New Orleans and then you have no question marks at all at tight end because you get his skill set in New Orleans. And you pair him and Juwan Johnson, for instance, and you tell me you're going to bring out five pass catchers, empty backfield, and you're going to give me a lineup that starts off with Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave, but then you also add in to that equation, Jonnu Smith and Juwan Johnson, let me eat. Let me eat. I'm going to just sit back and watch because that would be super dope. So I'm all about that potential move, which was actually suggested for the San Francisco 49ers being one that the New Orleans Saints consider instead. All right, y'all, coming up tomorrow for our Friday episode, really fun one. I want to break down the three most important things that we've learned about the New Orleans Saints during this offseason with new head coach Dennis Allen, Jameis Winston, the way that the Saints drafted, their approach to free agency. There's a lot of things to choose from, but what are the three most important things that we learned about the New Orleans Saints, and what do they tell us about their ability to be successful and competitive in 2022. We'll also hit our In Case You Missed It segment to get you caught up with everything that you might have missed over the week, including the New Orleans Saints brand new helmets and what we think about them. So we got all that coming up for you on tomorrow's episode. Don't miss it. I appreciate you as always for coming through, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. For your second listen, go and check out today is Tyler Rowland and Alex Clancy over at Locked On NFL. So sure to be a ton of fun and great conversations there. So make sure you go and check that out. Get all the news you need around the NFL in less than 30 minutes. The Locked On NFL podcast, wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube as well. Appreciate you as always making me a part of your day. If you see me, say hi, and I will see you tomorrow. But For everything you need around the New Orleans Saints, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.